This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. It's the sound of the summer. And this year, it'll be even louder than usual. Billions of cicadas will wake from their slumber underground and emerge bringing chirps, clicks, and exoskeletons with them. Joining us now to discuss the cicadas is Michael Raup. He's an entomology professor at the University of Maryland. He also has a popular blog called Bug of the Week that's earned him the nickname The Bug Guy. Mike, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jen, how you doing today? I sure hope I hope that about 30 million people here in America are ready to greet several billion cicadas because, Jen, the cicada palooza is just around the corner. It's happening in about a month.
Well, you're going to get us ready right now. Now, it feels like every year we hear about cicadas or we hear from them. What's different about Brood X?
Yeah, Brood X is special. Every year we have what we call the annual cicadas or dog day cicadas. And these little rascals are up anytime, let's say from June, July, August, September. The thing that's so unique about these 17-year or periodical cicadas, as we call them, is, Jen, this happens nowhere else on planet Earth, or as far as we know, anywhere else in the universe, except right here in the eastern United States. And in 15 states from Georgia up to New York and west to the Mississippi, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, there are simply going to be massive numbers of these little rascals emerging in, hey, just about a month.
How did they get their name, Brood X?
Well, the early scientists who studied this realized that this happened on a periodic basis. So what happened is they started to use Roman numerals. So a lot of people say this is Brood X, which makes it all the more mysterious. The other fact is they're simply Brood 10. So we have 12 broods of the 17-year cicadas and 3 broods of the 13-year cicadas. Now, a brood is a geographically distinct group of cicadas that it's going to emerge synchronously every 13 or 17 years. It just turns out that Brood 10 is one of the largest broods on the planet, and that's what's going to make it so special.
We got this question from Chris on Facebook who wants to know, are there any other species of animals that have a de facto latency period of development as expansive as cicadas? And is there any scientific explanation for the two specific periods of 13 and 17 years?
Yeah, this is a great, fascinating question, sure. It turns out that there are a couple other species of periodical cicadas in parts of Asia, but they don't have this very, very long developmental period underground. I think their cycles are something like 4 and 8 years. So periodicity is not unique in the cicada world. However, these guys have the longest period of time underground. And we believe the reason for this, Jen, is by staying underneath that ground for 17 years, and they are one of the longest living creatures underground with a juvenile development. This very long developmental period is a way to foil predators. So if you can imagine something like a raccoon, it would love to eat these things. In fact, the foxes are eating them in my yard right now. But hey, a fox is not going to remember 13 or 17 years. So that fox is not coming back to my yard. So by having the very long developmental period, it ensures that predators have a very difficult time tracking these things through time. The prime number emergence basically keeps everybody lockstep. Again, their very bizarre and clever strategy for survival is what we call predator satiation. It's simply a safety in numbers game. So by emerging in vast numbers, they will fill the bellies of every predator that wants to eat them, and there are still going to be enough left over to perpetuate their species. It's a bizarre strategy, but hey, this has been working for millions of years for these cicadas.
What do they do while they're underground? Are they eating or moving at all? And how deep are they?
Yeah, again, a lot of people think that they're dormant or hibernating. Absolutely not. When they tumble from the trees in July or August after the females have laid their eggs, the little tiny nymphs are only going to be about a millimeter long. That's what we call juvenile cicadas as nymphs. What they're going to do, Jen, is they're going to feed near the surface for a little bit of time. Then they're going to go deeper, maybe 12, 18 inches as they begin to grow. And over the course of those 13 or 17 years, they're going to shed their skin several times. They're going to be feeding on sap in tree roots. We call this particular tissue they feed on xylem. So they're going to be sucking xylem sap. It's going to be a dismal existence for these teenagers for 17 years, a COVID-like existence with social distancing underground. So it's a very unhappy time, I'm sure.
And when they do emerge from the ground, what happens?
Oh, baby. Well, these are teenagers. They're going to get up and they're going to party. So on the first night, again, we're going to see them emerging usually on dusk. This is a way probably to foil their visually hunting predators like birds or foxes or raccoons. They're going to climb out of the ground. They're going to go to a vertical structure. That might be a tree. It might be a house. If you stand still long enough, it might be you. Their exoskeleton is going to split open. The beautiful adult cicada is going to emerge over the spin. It'll take about an hour to get out of that shell, but by morning time, they'll have the beautiful black color, scarlet red eyes, orange wings. They're going to move to the safety of the treetops. About a week later, after they mature and the exoskeleton hardens, hey, it's going to be a big boy band up in the treetops. Only the males sing. And then, Jen, it's just going to be about romance. The guys are going to do their best. They're going to put on a performance and they're going to try to woo that special someone and convince her that she should be the mother of his nymphs. If he succeeds, that female cicada is going to flick her wings like this, a little clicking noise. Then they're going to hook up. After they mate, she's going to go out to the tips of branches, cut little slits in those branches, and insert anywhere from 400 to 600 eggs in what we call egg nests. After about 6 to 8 weeks, those little eggs are going to hatch. The tiny nymphs are going to tumble 80 feet to the ground, bounce twice, burrow in, and go back underground for 17 years.
We're talking to Michael Raup, a.k.a. the Bug Guy. He's an entomology professor at the University of Maryland. Taylor tweeted, just how loud will this be in most of D.C. and for how much of the day? Asking for audio professionals broadcasting from their homes. And we should know Taylor's a former WAMU employee. Hey, Taylor.
Sure. Yeah, hey, how you doing? Yeah, this is going to be way cool. I mean, the males have an organ on their side. It's called the timbal organ. It's like a drum head. They will vibrate the timbal organ. Their abdomen is hollow to act as an acoustic amplification chamber to make it even louder. And when they get to the treetops and they're chorusing, that's going to hit anywhere from 80 to 100 decibels, the sound of a lawnmower, a jet aircraft going by. They're going to be cranking it up probably here in Maryland, the DMV. I'm guessing by the last 2 weeks of May, but boy, by Memorial Day weekend, it is going to be spectacular. It's going to persist into the first couple weeks of June. And sadly, the chorus is going to end. Their little bodies are going to tumble to the earth and fertilize the very plants from which they were spawned. So they're going to give back to those trees after taking for 17 years.
So we should expect peak volume at around dusk?
No, that's a great question. When they come up at dusk, they have to molt. Then that exoskeleton has to harden for several days, 4 to 6 days. It has to become rigid so they can vibrate that timbal organ, fly to the chorus where the big party is, and basically mate. So they will be out for at least a week, perhaps 10 days before the choruses will begin. And it's not going to be at dusk. They are going to chorus most strongly on a beautiful day like today, bright sunshine. It will build in the morning hours, late morning, and then it will begin to crescendo. And hey, by 2 or 3 in the afternoon, it's going to be rocking. But fortunately for us, at nightfall, they're going to tail off, except on very warm summer nights. They may carry on after dusk just a little while.
Well, Siobhan tweeted, I live in Louisville, Kentucky in the Highlands, and my backyard is ground zero for Brood 10. Hundreds of the critters climbing up my maple tree. It is epic. Imagine a constant blaring 12-hour car alarm going off in your neighborhood. Wow. So, Taylor, might be time to invest in a little more soundproofing at home. Jacqueline emailed this. How are pesticides affecting cicadas? Insect populations around the world are crashing because of these chemicals. Should we expect this with cicadas?
Well, we don't really know. There's been a proliferation in the use of soil insecticides in the last 17 years, so we're really not sure. I certainly have my fingers crossed that the ground itself, that the plants that they feed on will act as a biological filter, perhaps, and protect them a bit from some of these pesticides. What we're urging people not to do is to spray cicadas with pesticides this summer. They will lay their eggs in trees. This can damage trees, but guess what? Mature, well-established trees will simply shrug this right off. There have been studies that demonstrate this will have very little or no impact. It's young trees that we have to protect them with netting. Net those trees with cicada netting. Please don't spray those cicadas when they're on the trees.
That's Michael Raup, a.k.a. The Bug Guy. He's an entomology professor at the University of Maryland, and his blog is called Bug of the Week. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, Jen, it was a real pleasure. Go out, enjoy these cicadas. It only happens a couple times in a lifetime, and it is going to be spectacular.
Coming up, we go from bugs to birds. We'll talk with authors and birder extraordinaires Margaret Atwood and Jenny O'Dowd. This is 1A from WAMU and NPR.